Hare Krishna. I would like to welcome everyone to Pune Yatra, year 2000. I believe this is the 14th year we have been celebrating. We are 2,000 years into the Western conception of calendar. We are more than 5,000 years into the age of Kali Yuga. And every moment of every second that passes, we are progressing deeper and deeper into the age of Kali. Kalero dosa nide rajan asti heke mahan guna ketana reva krishna sya mukta sangha parambrajat. Kali Yuga is ocean of faults. It is a time when even the most noble people are terrified by demonic influences both within and without. It is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. The age when irreligion is taken to be religion and religion is taken to be irreligion. Kali Yuga, people take the things that are insignificant, forms of bondage and misery, to be so very, very important. And they take the sacred gifts of the Lord so cheaply. Everyone's priorities are utterly mixed up. The list of the anomalies of this age of Kali cannot be fathomed. Therefore, Bhagavatam says that Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. Can anyone cross the ocean by their own power? This is not like the Pacific Ocean or Atlantic Ocean. This is something like a causal ocean of faults. Unlimited. But there is one benediction that simply by chanting the names of Krishna, in this very short life we have, we can achieve the perfection of liberation. So we should know that every moment that passes in our life, we're going deeper and deeper into the age of Kali. It keeps getting worse and worse until ultimately Kalki Avatar comes and reverses the situation. But that's about 432,000 years away. The one benediction is taken up by those who have good intelligence. Krishna varnam tvisa krishnam sango pangusha parshanam yagyai sankirtana praya jantihi sumedasha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in His beautiful golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Yuga Avatar of Kali. And those who have good intelligence worship him through the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratveshe Namaha. Lord Chaitanya has come to give what no other incarnation has ever given, even Krishna himself. He's come to give pure love of God in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, without considering a person's qualifications or disqualifications, simply by one who humbles himself to properly chant Krishna Nam. Many demons approached Krishna, and either with his chakra or his fist or by so many other transcendental means, he delivered those demons. He ended their lives, and some he gave liberation to, some he sent them back home, back to God. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is killing the demoniac mentality of the demons through his most powerful of all weapons, the mercy of his holy name. Dinahina yata chilo harinama udarilo tarasakshi jagai madhai. The evidence of this is jagai and madhai. In three previous births, they were killed by the Lord. But in this particular birth, they were given Krishna prema in their very lives from drunken, murderous dacoits. They became blissful Vaishnavas, dancing with tears in their eyes, with their arms raised, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Puna Yatra is a very special event for the congregation of Sri Radha Gopinath's devotees. It is a time when we leave everything aside, save and except hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. And in essence, this is the real solution to all problems. Srila Prabhupada explained what is real management in Krishna consciousness. It's to create an environment that's conducive for everyone to come together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And to create such a situation where more and more and more people will be attracted to this process. Srila Prabhupada explained the real success of all of our preaching is to induce people to chant the holy names sincerely. Srila Prabhupada also explained that the purpose of the construction of all of his temples was just to give people the opportunity to associate with devotees. What type of association did Prabhupada want people to find? Not devotees gossiping, fault-finding, lazily sleeping, trying to exploit one another, not devotees who were miserable and abused. He wanted devotees who were living according to the etiquette of Vaishnavas. Das, das, anu das. Serving one another, serving every living entity as part of Krishna. and developing a great enthusiasm for more and more service. But the foundation of all our devotional service is how, to the degree we develop an enthusiasm to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Srinvatam sukatha krishna punya sravana kirtana hridyantasto yavadriti vidinoti suritsyatam. One who develops a taste for hearing the glories of the Lord, Krishna is so pleased with such a person that from within the core of his heart, he cleanses all unwanted things and establishes himself as the all-attractive, worshipable object of that person's love. So it is our foremost duty to one another to help each other develop a taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. But in the next sloka, it is explained, Sat Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tiratana Sevana. Then in order to gain this taste for chanting the names of the Lord and hearing His glories, we must serve the great souls. As long as devotees find great pleasure in coming together to chant the holy names, then factually all the problems of our society will be solved. And factually there is no other solution to our problems in essence. And all of our meetings and management and other matters should be somehow or other to create the environment where devotees can take pleasure to hear and chant together. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Vishnu tells the Prachetas, they were all brothers, god brothers. He said, I am giving you my darshan today because you are nicely cooperating with each other in your devotional service. Srila Prabhupada said, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate. And showing love to Prabhupada means showing love to Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutofi. There's no other way to actually transmit our love to Krishna except through Srila Prabhupada in our movement. But cooperation is an impossibility in the age of Kali. It's the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Even if we want to cooperate, not according to our plans, but just according to nature's course, so many reasons will come to create animosity in our hearts toward others. In Kali Yuga, our bodies, gross and subtle, are constructed for the purpose of submitting to quarrel and hypocrisy. We have Kali Yuga bodies. If you had a Satya Yuga body, you would live for 100,000 years. The fact that the most you could live is 100 years old means you're Kali Yuga. The fact that you can't fix your mind on one object for more than a few seconds means your mind is simply influenced every element by Kali Yuga. So how do we prevent quarrel and hypocrisy? People see so much of it in the material world. They're fed up. It's the world of cheaters and cheated. It's the world of the exploiters and the exploited, the abusers and the abused. People want shelter. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is meant to give shelter. However, if the same scenario is going on with different dress and with a different type of philosophical justification, then what is the gain? Not what Srila Prabhupada wanted to give the world. However, if somehow or other we can develop relationships based on the principle of humility, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Suhishnina, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, with the mood of being a servant, not an enjoyer. Servant means I am aspiring to be enjoyed by my masters. And every devotee is Prabhu. We want to give happiness to the devotees according to our relationships. That should be our spirit. When we're living in this way, then we can approach the altar of the holy name in a way that we are presentable before Krishna. Jananivas Prabhu is the senior most pujari who is directly worshipping Krishna and Sri Radharani in our whole society. He knows you cannot go on the altar before taking bath, putting on Kli's clothes, doing the achman, chanting mantras. Similarly, otherwise we can go on the altar, but Krishna will not be pleased. Similarly, if we are serving devotees nicely, if we are pleasing our spiritual masters with sincerity, then we can approach the altar of the holy name in such a way that Krishna will want to reveal himself in every syllable to us. So it is very, very important, by living by these principles of servitude, that we pray for, aspire for, and even perform austerities to become aggressively enthused to come together to hear the glories of Krishna, the message of Krishna, and to chant his holy name. This process has the power to counteract all of the effects of Kali Yuga. In fact, wherever the devotees are gathered together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, that place becomes Vaikuntha. Krishna told Narada, Tatra Tishtami Narada Yatra Gayanti Mad Bhakta. Wherever my devotees come together to glorify me, I am there. Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan. Wherever he is, that is Vrindavan. The influence of Kali Yuga cannot enter into Vaikuntha. If we keep this protective force of Vaikuntha environment around us, then we transcend Kali. And when devotees are enthused to hear and chant, they naturally become very, very enthused to be compassionate instruments in the hands of the previous acharyas. Then everything naturally flourishes. Most devotees live in homes with families. Some live in ashrams with other brahmacharis, or in this case, other lady ashramites. Punyatra is an opportunity for both the grihasthas, the brahmacharis, everyone, to put everything aside. I am declaring that we should ban all cellular phones for the next 4 days. Because in Vaikuntha there are no cellular phones. We should immerse ourselves simply in Krishna consciousness, with Krishna's devotees. And this will give us the higher taste that we are looking for, that we are longing for. And then we can become spiritually surcharged. And then we go back into our homes and we electrocute whatever and whoever we come in contact with that spiritual charge. This was how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached in his South Indian tour. He was simply chanting. Srila Prabhupada explained that Mahaprabhu, he spoke a lot of philosophy to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Venkata Bhatta. But when he was traveling in the roads of South India, he was simply chanting and embracing people with love and appealing to them, please take the names of Krishna. And he surcharged those people so deeply with Hari Kirtan. And sometimes in the evening he would sit under a tree and just speak Hari Katha. And that anybody who came in contact with him, wherever they went, they made their entire villages into Vaishnavas, where they would meet together every morning, every evening, and just hear and chant the glories of the Lord. But because we're so much conditioned by material attachments and relative conceptions, we become sleepy when there's Hari Katha. And we become tired and hungry when there's Hari Kirtan. This is our tendency. Therefore, real tapasya, in order to gain the taste for hearing and chanting, we have to show Krishna we want it. That means somehow or other staying awake and listening and trying to focus our mind on what is being said. And however our body may feel during the kirtan, we don't run away or walk away or crawl away. It's a tapasya. Human life is meant for tapasya. And what is the greatest tapasya? To dance in transcendental enthusiasm while chanting Krishna's holy name. Whether we are old or young, or man or woman, whether we're Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, or Shudras, or Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, or Sannyasis, we're all ultimately just servants of Krishna's devotees in Krishna's name. So let us put our heart and soul into everything that's happening here for the next 4 days. What you invest, that's what Krishna will give you in return. 100 times more, unlimitedly more. So let us capture within our minds and within our hearts every moment of the next 4 days to purify ourselves to the maximum possible capacity, to develop as deep loving exchanges with the devotees during these 4 days, and to really, really be praying constantly to Krishna to purify my heart and give me attachment to his holy message and his holy kirtan and the service to his devotees. Sincerity means to not waste time. This yatra is a wonderful opportunity for us to put in the proper perspective why we have joined the Hare Krishna movement and see how naturally Krishna just resolves all conflicts and problems and shows you the way to do all of these things if we simply become attached to hearing and chanting his glories in the association of his devotees. Today is a very auspicious day to begin our Puna Yatra. It is Basant Panchami, the first day of the spring season according to the Vedic calendar, and the day that at Govardhan Hill Krishna performs his very charming Raslila in Sri Vrindavan. It is also the appearance day of Srimati Vishnu Priya Devi, the beloved consort of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She exhibited such a degree of chastity in her devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She was between 14 and 16 years old when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas. How many girls would like their husband to take sannyas when they're 14 years old? Hare Krishna. But she just accepted it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas. How many girls would like their husband to take sannyas when they're 14 years old? Hare Krishna. But she just accepted it as her service. Although her heart was broken in innumerable pieces, still she considered that if this is what pleases my Lord, then let it be like this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his deep, infinite love for his devotee, he personally had a deity of himself made for Vishnupriya to worship. That deity is still being worshipped in Navadvip Dham. How she worshipped that deity in pangs of separation. She was weeping and crying day and night. In her love for the Lord, she could hardly sleep. She would chant She would put a grain of rice aside to count her japa. And at the end of the day, can you imagine the potency of devotion in every grain of that rice? It's an unbelievable concept to contemplate that with our pure, unalloyed feelings of separation in ecstatic love, she was chanting the mantra on a grain of rice and putting them aside. Each grain was so saturated with that bhakti. Then she would cook that rice at the end of the day, and she would offer to her beloved deity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then she would take just a few grains to sustain her body of that Mahaprasad. She's the very emblem of spiritual strength and integrity, assisting the Lord in His divine mission. And great acharyas, Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, when they came to Navadvip, they worshipped her lotus feet as a very great superior Vaishnav, worshipable to all of them. It is also Sri Saraswati Puja. Saraswati Devi is the consort of Lord Brahma. She is the goddess of learning, wisdom, poetry, music, all these fine arts that are so beautifully utilized to glorify Radha and Krishna. Different classes of men worship Saraswati for different purposes. Musicians in the classical Indian schools, they always do a puja for Saraswati before beginning. But we know the story of Keshav Kashmiri. He was the number one devotee of Saraswati. He worshipped her so nicely that every time he opened his mouth to speak, Saraswati personally appeared in his mouth to move his tongue.
Hare Krishna.
Therefore, he was undefeatable. Without even any preparation, he could compose most beautiful poetry. He could present undefeatable argumentation. Therefore, he became known as Digvijay Pandit, the unconquerable. But when he went to Navadvip, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he heard from his students that this Digvijay Pandit, he's coming into Navadvip. There's a whole procession of tens and thousands of people that follow him wherever he goes. There's elephants and horses and chariots and Brahmins chanting mantras and people playing all sorts of musical instruments just to announce to the world, Digvijay is coming. And Saraswati speaks through him. He's coming to our Navadvip to defeat all of our scholars. The whole city will be ruined. Our reputation will be finished. Little Nimai, he said, you just wait. Within a few days, all of his false ego will be crushed into powder. Because Krishna will not tolerate false pride. A tree that has no good fruits stands up very straight. A tree that has many good fruits always bows down very low to anyone and everyone that may walk by. And we have seen in this world, people may do something very nice and become very proud. And that pride, there is a saying in America that you can give a person enough rope to hang himself. You can't hang yourself with a little bit of rope. But if you have the more rope you have, the better job you can do. So when we have this egoistic mentality, that's what you want. Krishna lets you succeed and get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Like that frog that just says, puffs himself up. Is it this big, this big, this big? Till he explodes. So if we're pride, Krishna just lets us coast along in this false ego and become more successful and more magnanimous and more charitable and more victorious and more full of good attributes. But ultimately, punar mushtaka bhava, again become mouse. So Mahaprabhu spoke with Keshav Kashmiri. We know this story. And expertly defeated him in such a polite and respected way that he didn't commit suicide. Because if he publicly debated with him and defeated with him, that dishonor would be worse than death. He could not maintain his life. He would have died on the spot. He couldn't have handled it. So the Lord arranged in a secret little place with only a few people around on the banks of the Ganges. He respectfully honored him and at the same time totally defeated him. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead could do that. He was bewildered. I've defeated all the greatest pundits in the world and this little grammar teacher, hardly a teenager. And when he presented an argument to me, my tongue didn't move. Sarasvati, why have you forsaken me? You have abandoned me. Why? That night in a dream, Saraswati Devi appeared to him. And she said, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is my worshipable deity. Whatever I have to give you, I have received from him. The ultimate perfection of all learning and all of the gifts that I give is to please him, to worship him. Go and surrender to him. This was Saraswati Devi's instruction. Don't worship me, worship my master. He is the one who gives me everything. That is the greatest way to please me. So on the day of Saraswati Puja, we should follow the instructions of Saraswati Devi and worship Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu by chanting his holy name. Today is also the disappearance day of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. One of the very, very great worshipable acharyas of our Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. He was, from his very, very early childhood, so much attached to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy names. He practically could not give up the association of his spiritual masters. He was always eager to hear and chant. So much could be said. One time, a king was traveling with his palanquin during the monsoon rains. It was torrential rains all around. And he saw Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur just sitting, reading Srimad Bhagavatam and writing some commentaries. He was so engrossed in Srimad Bhagavat that he didn't even notice it was raining. He didn't care. He didn't know. That's absorption. And the king looked and saw that not a drop fell on him. It was everywhere around. When you absorb yourself in Krishna to that extent, Krishna protects you. Krishna did not want to interfere with his writing his commentaries of Srimad Bhagavatam. He went to Vrindavan, very young. And there, he took to the life of an ascetic. And when, in fact, he was married by the force of his parents when he was very, very young. And his father-in-law sent a message to his Gurudev in Vrindavan that actually, what about my daughter? Send him back. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur came back. And he was away so long, he didn't even know who she was. Nor did she know who he was. He saw a young girl at a well taking up some water. And he went and drank some water. And then he came to the house that was supposed to be where... And there she was. So obediently he spent the night with her. And all night long he just spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. So she was enlightened and gave blessings. Go back to Vrindavan. Very good. And Gurudev said, all right, very good. So then he stayed in Vrindavan. And there was so much terrible threats to the Vaishnava society, and especially to the Siddhanta of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Because between the time of Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, the Mughal rulers attacked Vrindavan, destroyed temples, murdered so many devotees. Deities were secretly hidden under the ground or taken to other kingdoms for protection. At the time of Jiva Goswami, Vrindavan was the most beautiful, opulent place in the world. There was wonderful temples, Govindaji Temple, Madan Mohan Temple, Gopinath Temple, Radha Damodar Temple. Can you imagine when those temples were brand new, the grand openings? How spectacular, Yugala Kishore Temple. The Jamuna was flowing so wide and so clear and blue. Beautiful forests all around with fruit-bearing trees, tamal trees, kadamba trees, banyan trees, auspicious birds singing the glories of Radha and Krishna. And everyone in Vrindavan was a Vaishnava. There was no mercantile type people. Everyone who was there was simply there to dedicate their lives to the service of Radha and Krishna, to follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. What a place! But because it had such spiritual powers, people became very envious. And by the inconceivable will of the Lord, I guess some deterioration must have been there in the hearts of some of the devotees. And therefore, the Mughals came. They just defaced the temples, demoralized the devotees. And through that, all kinds of speculative ideas started being created. Why does God do this to us? And from that, all kinds of justifications, rationalizations are created. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur came in at that scene, and he preached through his behavior and through his writings, through his words, in such a way that he just charged all the Vaishnavas' hearts with faith, with knowledge. And he actually reestablished the glory of Vrindavan and rekindled the glory of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. His commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam is such a worshipable classic offering to the Vaishnava community. In fact, it is said that the spirit of Srila Rupa Goswami incarnated in the heart of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He also is the one who ordered Baladev Vidyabhushan to write his Govinda Bhashya commentary of Vedanta Sutra, to establish Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sampradaya as authorized in the eyes of all Vaishnavas. It is the appearance day of Srila Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He was Vrishabhanu Maharaj, the father of Srimati Radharani in Lord Sri Krishna's Leela. He was one of the very dear disciples of Srila Madhavendra Puri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, used to call him his father. One day in Navadvip, he cried out, "Pundarik, my father! Pundarik, my father! Pundarik, my father!" And devotees were wondering, who is this Pundarik? Who is he? He might be a very good devotee. The Lord is entranced, crying out his name, crying, who is he? Sriman Mahaprabhu said, "Very soon this great personality will come to Navadvip, and then we will all get the fortune of his association. But you will not recognize who he is, because he appears to the world like an ordinary materialistic enjoyer, although in his heart he's always tasting the sweet ras of Krishna Prema." Mukunda was from the same village in Bangladesh that Pundarik Vidyanidhi was from. Mukunda Dat and Basudev Dat, they knew who he was. He came to Navadvip. He lived in a nice house. Mukunda told Gadadhar Pandit, "I know that you like to visit saintly people, so I have a very, very great devotee. Come visit him." But Gadadhar, "Yes, yes, I'm very excited to meet a saintly person. Let us go." So they went. And when they arrived, Mukunda Dat introduced Gadadhar Pandit. He is the son of Madhava Mishra. He's a brahmachari from birth. He's never had any inclination toward material enjoyment. He's very simple. He has such natural devotion to Krishna. Pundarik Vidyaniri welcomed him with great affection. But Gadadhar Pandit was confused at what he was seeing. He was sitting on a very opulent, silken, covered asana that had very ornamental decorations all around it. There were luxurious silk pillows on all sides of him. There was finely polished brass pots with water and chewing spices. He wore very, very beautiful designed silken clothes, jewelry. He had very luxuriously combed hair that was anointed with fine scented oils. There were people standing around him on both sides, fanning him with chamara fans. Every now and then he'd look in the mirror at himself. Gadadhar Pandit was a simple brahmachari. He was thinking, who is this person? Why did he take me to him? I don't understand. So Mukunda Dad understood what was in Gadadhar Pandit's mind. So out of his sheer love, he recited a sloka from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Srimad Bhagavatam. It was a verse that Uddhava spoke in love for Krishna. That Putana was the sister of Bakasura. She approached Krishna in the disguise of a mother, with poison smeared on her breast, with the motive to murder him. Krishna sucked her breast and accepted the motherly affection that she offered him and gave her the benediction to be his own mother in the spiritual world. Where can we find such a merciful Lord as Krishna? Where? When Pundarik heard this, he became ecstatic, thinking of the mercy of Krishna. He started crying out Krishna's names. Where is such mercy to be found? Who but Krishna is so merciful? He went in such ecstatic trance that torrents of tears were flooding from his eyes. His hairs were standing on end. He began to violently roll and roll in different directions. His beautiful hair was totally disheveled. He started ripping to shreds his silken clothes. Everything around him was flying in all directions. Meanwhile, 10 men tried to hold him down, but they could not. Until his ecstasy went to such a peak that he fell unconscious. There was not a single symptom of life. Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, I have made a great offense. Mukunda, what should I do to atone for this offense? You saved me. I was thinking he's an ordinary materialist, but you have revealed to me his inner quality of devotion. I think the only way I can atone for this offense is to accept initiation from him. Because although I am an associate of the Lord, I have not yet received initiation, and that is important. Pundarik Vidyaniri was in trance, unconscious, for 6 hours. And then when he came to consciousness and looked around, the whole room was in disarray. He was in disarray. He was very embarrassed. He offered his obeisances to everyone. And Mukunda Dat explained, Gadadhar wants to be your disciple. I said, after millions and millions of births, can one get the fortune of a disciple like Gadadhar Pandit? Gadadhar Pandit was none other than the incarnation of Srimati Radharani in her full glory. Gadadhar Pandit asked permission from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said, "Yes, take initiation from Puntarik Vidyanidhi. Very good." And on an auspicious day, he was initiated. He was one of the most confidential associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When they were living in Puri together, there's one very nice story that's very instructive and very pleasing to the heart to hear. Jagannath was celebrating Odana Shasti. That's when they off. It's the day in the month of Magh, winter season, where they offer new garments, winter garments, to Lord Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. This goes on for several days. So Lord Chaitanya and his devotees, they would spend the whole night in the temple just watching the offerings to Lord Jagannath. There was blowing of conch shells and playing of horns and playing of mridangas and all sorts of other celestial instruments all around. People were singing and dancing. They were offering Jagannath one garment after another. Beautiful silk garments. Some were yellow, some were pink, some were red, some were blue, some were white. Some had pearls sewn on them. Some had diamonds and emeralds and gold sewn on them. There was innumerable flower garlands and flower helmets and flower jewelries offered to the Lord. The devotees were simply ecstatic to see the Lord enjoying the offerings of the opulences of his devotees. After this festival ended that night, Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Swarup Damodar Goswami, who were very, very intimate associates, they took prasad with Lord Chaitanya. And then they were walking home. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi said, "I don't understand why these pujaris made this offense to Lord Jagannath. They were offering starched garments that had not been washed. This is not proper. According to the Shastra, you must wash garments that are starched before you can touch the deity to them." Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "This festival has been going on since time immemorial. It's the king that's sending so many of these garments. If Lord Jagannath wants to accept these starched garments, then it's perfect. He can do anything he likes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is above all of your rules and regulations." Pundarik Vidyanidhi, it was actually a very joking, pleasing discussion. He said, "Yes, I agree, the Supreme Lord Jagannath, he's above rules and regulations, but his servants are not. He can do anything, but that gives no right his servants to do anything. According to the Shastra, if you touch an unwashed, starched garment, you have to immediately wash your hand or take a bath before you can even approach the deity. And they're offering a right to him. This is unacceptable." Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "If the Lord is pleased by what his devotees are doing to serve him, who are we to say anything else?" Pundarik Vidyanidhi started to laugh and said, "Yes, yes. Whatever the Lord and his servants does is perfect." So then they said goodbye to each other and went to sleep.
Hare Krishna. That night, Pundarik Vidyanidhi had a dream. It was a terrifying dream. He saw Lord Jagannath and Lord Balaram with angry eyes approaching him. With great anger, they began to slap him in the face, both Jagannath and Balaram simultaneously. They were slapping him very hard. They had rings on their fingers. And they slapped. And he was in terrible pain. He started crying out, oh my Lord, Krishna, Krishna, save me, what offense have I done that you have come to beat me like this? My Lord, I surrender unto you, please, save me. And they continued to beat him. Then Jagannath, in anger, he spoke. He said, you have criticized my servants. You call yourself my devotee, you worship me, but you criticize my servants. I cannot tolerate this. This festival is my festival, and I am enjoying the garments that my servants are giving me because they are giving it with love. I cannot tolerate that you have criticized their motives. And he beat him on the cheeks. He said, my Lord, please forgive me. I am your servant. My Lord, I understand that you are most merciful to me, that you know that I have made a mistake, and you have personally come to punish me and teach me a good lesson to rectify my offensive nature. I am eternally grateful to you. You are most merciful. Thank you, my Lord. And Jagannath said that because you are my servant, I will not beat you anymore. And then he left. Pundarik Vidyanidhi woke up from the dream, and his cheeks were red from being beaten by the fingers of Jagannath. He was thinking, how auspicious, I've been beaten by the Lord. Then he went to see Swarup Damodar Goswami. They would meet every morning. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, this is very unusual. Usually you always come early in the morning for darshan of Jagannath. Why were you late today? Then Swarup Damodar Goswami saw red cheeks. He said, what happened to you? What is this? He said, this is why I'm late. You were right. The servants of Jagannath, their offerings were pleasing to him, but he was not pleased with my criticizing words. So he beat me along with Balaram. This is my good fortune. And Swarup Damodar Goswami said, yes, this is your good fortune. I have never heard of such good fortune. Never in history have I ever read, seen, or heard of anyone who was punished directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a dream. I consider that you are the recipient of his greatest mercy. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, anyone who hears this story with a sincere heart is certain to very soon achieve shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. It is also the appearance day of Raghunandan Thakur. He was the son of Mukunda Sarakar. He was one of the most favorite dancers in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan. When he was little boy, the deity of Gopinath was worshipped by his father. He told him that I have to go away. The king is calling me for some work. He was the king's personal physician. He said, you should offer the bhoga to the deity. I don't know how to offer the bhoga to the deity. You just offer it with devotion and he will accept. So the mother made plate. He brought it into the deity and said, Lord Krishna, please take your bhoga. So Krishna took it. Through his glance, he accepted the bhakti. It became Mahaprasad. But he was a child. He began to cry. He kept crying. But what was his tears? This is the essence of the story. He was crying because he was thinking Krishna's not accepting his offering. Therefore, his life is a failure. This was his sentiment. So Krishna could not tolerate seeing the anguish in the heart of this child. He said, my boy, why are you crying? Because my father, he gave me the service of offering you this food, and you're not eating it. I've already eaten it, but it's still here. No, I've eaten it, but it's here. My glance, I've tasted it. This is Mahaprasad. I don't know all this high philosophy. All I know is I want you to eat it. He said, all right, I'll eat it. The deity came down off his throne and ate every grain of bhoga. He brought off the empty plate. His mother said, where's the prasad? He said, you told me to offer it to Krishna and Krishna ate it. Hare Krishna. So father came home expecting prasad. There's no prasad. Where is it? He says, Krishna ate it. His father understood his son was an unusual devotee. Tell me, where is it? He told him the story. He said, you offer this ladu again. I want to offer him another. And Mukunda was watching from a distant place. And again, he offered. And Krishna glanced and made it into prasad. And he cried. And then Krishna, just to satisfy his devotee, he took a bite out of the ladu. And Mukunda Sarakar was thinking, very nice, very nice. But then the news spread all over Srikanda that Krishna ate the prasad, every crumb of it, of this little Raghunandan. So at that time, one of the great associates of Nityananda Prabhu, his name was Abhiram Thakur. He was such a Vaishnava, very loving, compassionate, and gentle, but very formidable in maintaining the highest standards. If there was a deity and Krishna was not personally accepting the offerings of his devotees in that deity, if he offered obeisances to it, the deity would crack. If there was any stone that was not a genuine, authentic Shalagram Shila, if he offered obeisances, it would crack. He had a whip called Jai Mangala. And if he hit you with the whip, you would immediately get Krishna Prema. But there was one attribute of him which caused fear to the parts of people. If he offered his obeisances to you, if there was the slightest inclination for material enjoyment in your heart, you would immediately die. So Abhiram Thakur heard, Raghunandan, this little boy, Gopinath ate his food. I want to go offer my obeisances to him. So the word spread,
Abhiram Thakur is coming.
He lived in a place called Kanakulya Krishna Nagar. He was heading to Srikanda. The word came to Mukunda Sarakar and his good wife. They loved their child. They didn't see their child as a Paramahamsa Vaishnav. They saw him as their son. Yeah, he's a nice devotee, but still, he's going to offer obeisances. What if there's a tinge of desire? Then our child will die. We have to protect him. What will we do? They were in terrible fear. Abhiram is coming. Step by step, he's getting closer. He's in the outskirts of the town. What will we do? So they decided to hide Raghunandan just outside of the village. So Abhiram Thakur came to the house.
I want to offer my obeisances to your son, Raghunandan Thakur. He's not home. Where is he? He's not in our village.
When is he coming back?
We don't know.
So he went to a nice, beautiful grove of trees. That place is still there in Srikanda. And he sat under a tree chanting the holy names of Krishna. He chanted with such purity that it attracted the heart of Raghunandan Thakur. This little boy, he came running to that little forest where he saw Abhiram Thakur. Abhiram saw him, Raghunandan's. They both... Abhiram was standing there in ecstatic love, seeing the beautiful child coming running to him. Then they embraced. They embraced in such ecstatic love that they bathed each other with their tears. After that, Abhiram Thakur offered his obeisances at the lotus feet of little Raghunandan, and he survived. Evidence to the world the glory of this devotee. Then they embraced again, they began chanting the holy names very, very loudly and dancing together. They danced and chanted for hours. They had like a little punayatra. dancing, chanting. They danced. Raghunandan was dancing so beautifully that his ankle bell broke and it flew into a pond, which is several kilometers away. And to this day it is called Nupur Kund, and people come to worship that holy place. And later on, in the Rath Yatra in Puri, there were seven groups that the Lord arranged. One were the residents of Srikanda, and Raghunandan and Narahari, his uncle, Narahari Sarakar, they were the chief dancers for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya. It is also the appearance day of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, the Prayojana Acharya of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Through his life and his teachings, he established the highest levels of ecstatic love of God. He was the son of multi-millionaire landowners, Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar. But when he was a small child, his Guru Maharaj, Yadunandan Acharya and Balaram Acharya, they brought him to meet Haridas Thakur. And seeing the renunciation and the attachment to the holy name of Srila Haridas Thakur, it affected his heart so deeply. He simply wanted to be like that. He was so attached to the service of the Lord. His parents got worried. They married him to a bride who was as beautiful as an angel. He was the only son of the whole family. He was the heir to all the fortune. They were just showering upon him every type of luxury, but he didn't care anything for it. In fact, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, he went to Shantipur, and Raghunath Das Goswami went there to meet him. And he surrendered at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya told him to go home. But he was in so much separation that practically every day he would run away from home. They had about 12 guards constantly watching him to drag him back. This was an everyday affair. He would run away and they would bring him back. But then he rendered that wonderful service to Nityananda Prabhu at Panihati by providing chiradahi to all the devotees. And Mahaprabhu personally came there in a spiritual body to accept the offerings. And Nityananda Prabhu gave the blessing. Raghunath Das Thakur Goswami said, "No one can approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without your mercy, O Nityananda Prabhu. Please free me from the bondage of materialistic life and let me surrender unto him." Nityananda Prabhu said, "Very soon you will get shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. You will be the personal assistant of his secretary, Swarup Damodar Goswami." By some transcendental trick, he left home. He went to Puri, and Lord Chaitanya accepted him as his own personal associate. He lived for many years, personally watching the Antya-lila of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After the Lord disappeared from this world, and after Swarup Damodar Goswami left this world, he had no longer any reason to live. The Lord was so very pleased with his renunciation and his humility and devotion. How could he live without such affection? So he went to Vrindavan with the plan to jump from Govardhan Hill and end his life, after getting the blessings of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. When he met Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they told him, "No, impossible. You cannot jump from Govardhan Hill. You're not even allowed to walk on Govardhan Hill. You stay here with us and every day narrate the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So Raghunath Das Goswami, for 3 hours minimum every day, he would speak what he had personally witnessed or heard from Swarup Damodar Goswami of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And Rupa Goswami would be there to hear. Sanatan Goswami was there to hear. Later on, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was eagerly listening to his narrations. And of course, one of the participants of his daily katha was Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who considers Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami as his ultimate shelter of life. From what he heard from Raghunath Das Goswami, he had compiled Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So today is a very, very blessed, auspicious day. By hearing these short summaries of the lives of these great personalities, great, great purification and merit takes place within our hearts. But what is most auspicious about this day Srila Prabhupada has sent several of his very, very, very dear associates to bless us with their association. We have with us His Holiness Srila Jai Advaita Swami Maharaj, who was one of the very senior-most devotees of our movement. He came to Krishna consciousness in the late 1960s, 26 Second Avenue. The original place of Prabhupada's ISKCON movement. And I remember in the early 70s, when we would go to the Radha Govinda Temple in New York. At that time, it was the biggest temple in all of ISKCON. Most devotees, and the most strict and formidable devotees in ISKCON. But he was the chief giver of class. While I was there, every single day, His Holiness Jai Advaita Maharaj was giving class. He was jewel amongst jewels. And how perfectly he presented Srila Prabhupada's philosophy. And how simple and detached he was in his exemplary behavior. Srila Prabhupada entrusted him with a special service of helping to edit his most priceless life's work, his books. Can you imagine? Srila Prabhupada, his life and soul was carrying out the order of his spiritual master to write books, print them, and distribute them. He said, "These are my devotional ecstasies." He does not entrust his writings to an ordinary person to edit. But he had great faith in Jai Advaita Maharaj.
Blind dog goes better than no one.
Prabhupada explained that, that a blind maternal uncle is better than no maternal uncle.
No one can understand how that applies to the subject matter.
Is that an order or what?
It's a fact.
Then why is everyone laughing?
Huh?
Why is everyone laughing?
Because what you said was so ludicrous. So let us welcome His Holiness Jai Advaita Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I'll introduce everyone, then ask everyone to speak. As long as you like to speak, all of you can speak. It's Puna Yatra, there's no such thing as time limits. Theoretically there is, but it doesn't always...
No time limits, because there's no time.
We also have someone who is even senior to Jai Advaita Maharaj. Malati Devi, Mataji. She is one of the most empowered, enthusiastic pioneers of the Hare Krishna movement. Malati Devi, what can you say? We can write volumes of books about her devotional service. She came in 1967. She helped start the second temple of ISKCON in Frederick Street in San Francisco, California. Srila Prabhupada sent her and five other devotees to London, where Gaudiya Math Sannyasi went several times to try to establish something, but it was just very difficult. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had to call them back. But Srila Prabhupada sent Malati, who at the time had a little baby named Saraswati. And mother with baby went to London and not only established a temple, beautiful temple, but also through the people they were preaching to, within a year or two, the whole world was chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra practice. In those days in the 60s, music was the life and soul of the youth. The number one record in most all of Europe was the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. And who was singing? Malati Devi and her godbrothers and godsisters. And if you heard that record, it's very famous. At the very end of the record, you will hear a gong go. That's Malati playing the gong. Even the greatest musicians of the time, the Beatles, thought, this is very nice, this gong. She came to India with Srila Prabhupada. She was his personal assistant, personal cook. Prabhupada deputed her to send deities to various parts of the world. She was the all-purpose servant. And Srila Prabhupada knew that she was a totally surrendered person that he could put his full faith in. Let us welcome Malati Devi to our... We also have Lakshmi Moni Devi Mataji. I don't know so much of her history, except she's quite famous throughout the 14 worlds. But she... What year did you come to Krishna? 1969. And she has held very, very responsible positions within our movement. She was one of those persons who was simply a surrendered soul. I was told that she was head pujari in Toronto. The name of the temple is Radha Gopinath Temple. Kirchor Gopinath. So she was pregnant with a child. And throughout the 9 months of pregnancy, she was doing all the aartis and offerings to the deities. And if I understand correctly, it was while she was offering Gaur Aarti that she had her final labor pains. Is that correct?
That's slightly exaggerated.
So she finished the aarti and came off and had a child. This is not an ordinary human being. But her present service is something that's illustrious. Her and mother, Akuti Devi Mataji, was also a very senior devotee. When did you come? 1970. She's been, her and Lakshmi Moni Mataji, both year after year after year, whatever happens in the world, whatever happens in the society, They just go on just with Prabhupada's original spirit of devotion, just carrying on the lamp of Prabhupada's mercy within this world. Akuti Mataji is the very blessed wife of our favorite most tour guide of Vrindavan, Dinabandhu Prabhu. And together they are the wonderful servants of all of these illustrious, effulgent girls of the Vaishnav Academy. They are training and caring for these girls in Krishna consciousness. It's such a valuable service, very, very difficult. And everyone in our whole movement should be continually offering obeisances with gratitude for the service they're doing. They're like the mothers, the friends, the sister, the servant, the guru of these very beautiful young girls. And we have seen that most everyone that comes out of their ashram is just a very, very exemplary, nice devotee. They're giving them the best possible chance and opportunity. So we are very grateful that they have come with their whole ashram. So let us very enthusiastically welcome them to our we have Rasananda Maharaj. Rasananda Maharaj is a very dear disciple of His Holiness Srila Hridayananda Goswami Maharaj and a very, very dedicated servant of Srila Prabhupada and all the Vaishnavas. He's from Brazil and very humble, very exemplary, very enthusiastic. He was one of the most empowered advocates of book distribution in the United States of America at a time when book distribution was really, really struggling. And he was leading a party that was enthusing book distribution all over America. He's just a very wonderful devotee. Let us welcome him to Sri Radha Gopinath. And last but not least is the dearmost to the heart of our whole congregation, who has descended from the holy abode of Navadvip Dham, Janani Vas Prabhu. Prabhupada gave him the service of serving Radha Madhava at the time when there were just little breath duties. And the devotion of Jananivas in his service to the deities, the steadiness, the commitment, is really an example that gives tremendous amount of strength to our whole society. One person who has such courage, such dedication, and such unflinching devotion, like Jananivas Prabhu, literally is such a stabilizing force that holds together our society. When you go to Mayapur, it's not that he comes forward in a flamboyant way. You probably won't even see him unless you search, because he likes to be in the background. That is the nature of his humility. But the foundation of a house is also not seen so much, but it's holding up the whole house. One of my very, very dear senior godbrothers told me some time back that so many things have happened in Mayapur over the years. But what's really holding it up through everything, all the storms from within and without, is Prabhupada's mercy coming through the steady devotional service of Janani Vasprabhu. He has never been away from Mayapur for so long of time, he told me. He was very eager to come back to his home. But last Sunday, you all said Hari Bol so loud that his heart melted, as a Vaishnava's heart naturally does, and he agreed to make a very rare exception and come to the Pune Yatra just to give us his association. Let us very enthusiastically welcome Janani Vasprabhu. People may accuse me of exaggerating some of the things I say and trying to respect the Vaishnavas, but actually, I have no capacity to praise Vaishnavas properly. So all I could do is try to speak what is in my heart. Now at this time, we would like to ask each of our special guests to speak whatever message they want to give us. We'll begin with His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj.
I think they got me a little closer in Bangalore. They said nice things about me in Bangalore. You can imagine. In Srimad Bhagavatam, I was reminded, Sukadev Goswami says, Jayati Janani Vaso. He glorifies Krishna that you're Janani Vas, you're the person who lives in everyone's heart. So, Jayati, all glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janani Vas. Everyone's heart, Ishra Sarvabhutanam Hriday Sarjanatistati. Krishna is in the heart of every living being. Or Maharaj quoted earlier, Hridyantakstohya Bhadrani Vidhunoti Suhritsata. That he's living within the hearts of the devotees and purifying those who are eager to hear his message, Krishna Katha. So this personality of Godhead is within the heart of every living being and all the 8,400,000 species of life. And still he's said to be the son of Devaki and Vasudev. Devaki Janmavado. Actually, it's mentioned that Krishna was transferred from the heart of Devaki to the heart of Vasudev to the heart of Devaki. And Devaki Janmavado. He's only said to be the son of Devaki because Krishna, Ajopi San Navyayatma Bhutanam Isharopi San. The Lord has no birth. He has no Janma. Or what to speak of the Lord, all the living beings, Najayate Miyateva Kadachin. For the living entities, parts and parcels of Krishna, there's no birth, there's no death. And what to speak of the Lord? The Lord is Anadir Adir Govinda. He's the origin of everything. Aham Sarvasya Prabhupada Matas Sarvam Pravartate. Everything's coming from Krishna. So how can Krishna be the son of anyone? Krishna says that Sarva Yoni Shukantiya Murtiya Sambhavantiya Tasam Brahma Aham Yonir. Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir Mahadyonir Aham Bija Pradapita. I'm the father of all living beings. Still, the father of all living beings is known as the Devaki Nandan, son of Devaki. Devaki Janmavada. Or, from another point of view, Devaki Janmavada, he's said to be the son of Devaki and Vasudev, but actually he's the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashodamayi. This was admitted by Nanda Yashoda. Nanda Maharaj, Vasudev said to Nanda Maharaj, that actually we may be the so-called father of Krishna and Balaram, but actually they know you as their parents. You're the ones who've protected them from their during their whole childhood. So it's a fact that although Krishna appeared as the son of Devaki and Vasudev, he awarded his childhood pastimes to Nanda Yashoda. So he's still more intimately known as Nanda Nandan Yashoda Nandan. So even Devaki and Vasudev admitted that actually you're the real parents of Krishna Balaram. Jayati Janani Vaso Devaki Janmavado. And Jaduvara Parishad. Krishna never appears alone. In Dwarka, he married 16,108 queens. And by each wife he had 10 sons. And that was only Krishna. There were so many other inhabitants of Dwarka. Some fabulous numbers of personal bodyguards for Ugrasen Maharaj. So many. Huge assembly of associates of the Lord. Some of them coming from the spiritual world, some of them demigods brought to the earth planet to take part in Krishna's pastimes. And in all of those, among all of those jadus, Krishna is the chief, most celebrated. Of course, from one point of view, to be the head of the Yadu dynasty is not a big credit, however big the dynasty may be, but rather the dynasty is glorified by the presence of Krishna. Jaduvara Parishad. The Yadus are not very important, but because Krishna chose to appear in the Yadu Vamsa, so it becomes very important. Wherever Krishna gives his association, wherever Krishna performs his pastimes, whomever he chooses to associate with becomes glorious. Even the demons, Kamsa, Dantavakra, so many. They're celebrated still, their names are remembered, and their activities are talked about, because they're in relationship with Krishna. So the Yadu dynasty was glorified by the presence of Krishna. Actually, when Prabhupada was explaining this verse in Krishna book, there was some skipping of the tape or something, or some words that were missing. So Pradyumna, who was actually the close editor for Srila Prabhupada, Sanskrit editor, he asked Prabhupada, what should this word be or that word be? Prabhupada just, on the back of the paper, Prabhupada just wrote, Jaduvari Parishad, which meant, here's the word, you figure it out and put the appropriate thing. And Prabhupada liked his work. Prabhupada just wrote, Jaduvari Parishad. So Krishna was attractive to all the living beings, the moving living entities, the non-moving living entities. He was inspiring them both. Srila Sanatana Goswami mentions that when Krishna was in Vrindavan, by his influence, these living entities would change their natural characteristics. So the moving living beings would become stunned. And the non-moving living beings would start moving. Just like the cows and calves, they're moving living beings. But when Krishna would play on his flute, they would become stunned. The calves would be sucking on the udders of their mothers. And they'd hear Krishna's flute and they'd just stop. This is one of the 8 symptoms of ecstasy, to become stunned. Everything just gets stopped. All the functions of the body just become, it's a kind of devastation. So they become devastated. They hear Krishna's flute and they become so overwhelmed that they just become stunned. So although they're moving living entities, they become non-moving. And the cows also just stand there with tears in their eyes. And the rocks and stones start to melt. And the so many non-moving living entities begin moving, attracted toward Krishna. Because Krishna is all attractive. All knowledge, all beauty, all fame, all wealth. Susmita Sri Mukhena. Susmita means smiling so beautifully. If a young boy is smiling very nicely, then he's attractive. Well, Krishna is so attractive that by his smiling, he was captivating everyone. The gopis also, elderly gopis, came to Yashoda Mayi just to complain about Krishna, that your boy is a nonsense. He's causing all kinds of mischief. He's tormenting our children. He's stealing our butter. He's doing all sorts of mischief. And now he's pretending to be a very good boy. Just see. So, actually their purpose was, so Yashoda Mayi said, all right, I'll tie him up, I'll punish him. No. It won't do any good anyway. So their purpose was how to enjoy Krishna Katha, how to enjoy hearing and speaking about the pastimes of Krishna, and how to enjoy seeing the beautiful face of Krishna. While we're speaking these things, Krishna is sitting there like an innocent child. So they're seeing the face of Krishna and enjoying. Susmita Srimukhena. And everyone, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they were all captivated by Krishna. The elderly gopis, the young gopis, the cowherd boys, the calves, the cows, the bees, the creepers, all the whole Braja was attracted by the characteristics of Krishna. This is the real business of the living entities, to love Krishna. Prabhupada explained that he's writing these books just so that people can learn the science, the art, the technique of how to love Krishna. One time, because you were also mentioning how all of our problems can be solved by chanting Hare Krishna, Prabhupada wrote to, I think, the GBC men, that it's all right, we have so much administration, this, that, and we may have so many plans, whatever. But we should not forget our real business, which is to become mad after Krishna. And to become mad after Krishna. So this is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, to create madmen. The purpose of the schools and colleges is to create very sober, responsible citizens who will work hard like asses throughout their life and what to speak of leaving their wife at the tender age of 14 or 16 when they're 80 also. They'll be very responsible and dutiful, but neither husband nor wife will ever give up their material attachments. They'll remain stuck in the illusory energy till the end of their days. But the those who become intoxicated by the characteristics of Krishna will become useless for material life. Someplace there was some letter that letter to conversation where Prabhupada was explaining that this would be the result of our gurukul, that the students would become useless for material life. So, or another time Prabhupada explained that Krishna consciousness means that when you think that if I left Krishna consciousness, where would I go? Where would I go? If I left Krishna, where would I go? Prabhupada said that's Krishna consciousness. Toma vina anya gati nai. Prabhupada also wrote in his song that, my dear Krishna, without apart from you, there's no other goal in life. There's no other destination. There's no other place worth going. So please accept me as your servant. Please engage me in your transcendental activities. But this is our business of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Malati Nataji.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarane. Hare Krishna. I'd like to offer my respectful and humble obeisances at the lotus feet of the assembled Vaishnavas. And thank you very much for inviting me to come to Puneyatra. I'll just comment on three things that were mentioned. One is that you were mentioning this is Punyatra of the year 2000. So just like recently, the Chinese celebrated their New Year. And it was the year of the dragon. So I was thinking this is our year, the year of chanting Hare Krishna. So that we should make that the year, the goal of the year 2000, to inundate this parched world. Maharaj began by introducing the glories of Kali Yuga, and we are daily seeing and hearing the infamy of Kali Yuga. So it's like a parched world, that there are so many sounds. We are hearing these crows and the vehicles and the mundane sounds. So our business is to inundate with the one true sound vibration, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And as Maharaj Radhanath Swami pointed out correctly, so that this is actually the solution to whatever problems we perceive. And in fact, Srila Prabhupada, in his preaching, would say, "This is the only medicine I have to offer. Please take it." So we should actually take it very seriously, this medicine of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because if we're not taking it properly, neither can we properly distribute it. So our first business is to properly take the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, to offenselessly chant the holy name, and to be very attentive in the manner of chanting. Srila Prabhupada is pointing out in one purport in fourth canto that if we can only chant offenselessly, with great attention, simply hearing, that we don't have to think of anything, simply to hear, then the Lord will appear factually before that devotee. So this is a wonderful meditation, that the meditation of the sound of the holy name. And by this proper meditation, the Lord appears factually before the devotee. And the example, of course, is Dhruva Maharaj. Even though he was a young boy, by his sincere meditation upon the Lord in his heart, the Lord appeared before him. And lastly, His Holiness was speaking about Krishna being the glory of the Yadu dynasty, that the Yadu dynasty was glorified by the appearance of Krishna. So I would like to say, in the same way, ISKCON is being glorified by the appearance of devotees like Radhanath Maharaj, like Jayadvaita Maharaj, by Jnanivas Prabhu, and by Lakshmi Moni Prabhu and Akuti Prabhu, who have so wonderfully dedicated their lives and souls to the service of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Lakshmi Moni Mataji.
Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Mataji. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pichani Nidase Sissini Vati Paschacha Devasajani Vanshakal Patrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vachapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj apologized, or maybe didn't apologize, but at least acknowledged the fact that occasionally he's accused of exaggerating. In my case, I don't think he was really exaggerating, he was fabricating. but in making some attempt to inspire and enthuse the students of traveling with me, studying at our school, I feel a great inability to enthuse them and inspire them in Krishna consciousness, and so periodically we have to come here to Pune and to Chopati and the impact on them was very, very great. And now there's some new students who haven't been here, and the older ones that it's been 2 years, so now they're coming to recharge their batteries, and for myself also, same thing, so that we can become enlivened and inspired to take up the service of Srila Prabhupada and develop an attraction for the holy name. Srila Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita that faith is created by association. So association is the number one most important thing in us becoming advanced in devotional service and sincerely moving forward to take off the layers of anartas that are piled on our heart from so many births in the material world. By the association of all you, certainly, I become very inspired and very enlivened to try and serve just a little bit, and my students also become very enlivened and inspired, and then I get to associate with them, and so it has a great effect. I thank you all for inviting us here and having us here and taking such good care of us. I wrote a letter home today telling all the parents that everyone was well. I told them if we died of anything in India, we would die of overeating. So, by all your grace, and please pray for us and give us your blessings that we can take a little bit of your association and understand the power of devotional service in the holy name. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
I also want to thank you for inviting us here and allowing us to have your association. And in the early 70s, I was in Los Angeles, and Srila Prabhupada was on the Vyasasan. I don't remember the lecture, but I remember in the middle of it, he goes, and I want all my disciples to go to India and become enlivened and then come back and preach. And I always felt that was like an instruction. And within a few years, we were taking these annual trips to India. So, following his instruction, we're trying to provide this inspirational trip for our students. And it's right before graduation, we try to arrange it. There's a group of 6 girls graduating when we go back. And the nature of the teenage mind is that it's very flickering. And although they're all very nice girls, the mind is still flickering and having doubts, and I know myself also. But coming to India seems to like wash away all those doubts, getting to see the culture the way that Prabhupada told us about the Vedic culture. Although entering India every year, it seems like Maya is exposing herself more in India, and it's actually almost embarrassing because you don't want the girls to see it because you think of India as being, you know, the blossoming flower of the Vedic culture. But especially in the cities, you just see billboards. That's all you see. And it seems like they're getting bigger and bigger and more like America all the time. But coming to these gatherings, actually this is what Papa really meant when he said come to India, that we can come together and to hear of the ideal consciousness of being very Krishna conscious. And that's what we are hoping that these girls get out of the trip. And we encourage you all to give your association, talk to these girls and let them also talk to you and tell them how they've been inspired, especially by people such as Radha Swami. I know quite a few of the girls have actually become much more settled in their minds and much more peaceful and secure about what they're going to do in their future by his association. They've actually taken vows to chant a certain amount of, 16 rounds, and they're inspiring for initiation, which is a big step for young ladies, for any teenager to actually take that vow that they're going to just be devotees of Krishna. And I've seen it happen. right before my eyes just in the last year of several of these girls. So we thank you and hope that you can associate with some of our girls. Thank you very much.
Maharaj,
Hare Krishna. Om Agyana Chimirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militanjana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. So I'm very pleased to be here, Pune Yatra, in association with Vaishnavas. Actually, this is what I want to be in association with Vaishnavas and be able to always hear the glories of Lord Krishna, especially when they are told by expert preachers such Jayadvaita Swami, Radhanatha Swami. So this brings me closer to Krishna. So it's a great pleasure for me. 2 years ago, 1998, I went to this Vrindavana Yatra, and I enjoyed very much the association of devotees and Maharaj and all speakers. And then I see how important for me, for my spiritual life, is to always try to participate, come and hear, chant and dance. It's not my intention actually to preach so much, because I'm not a preacher. I cannot enliven so many people. But my main intention is to hear. Because when we hear about Krishna from these great Vaishnavas, so we develop some taste for Krishna consciousness. Krishna becomes very easy, very accessible to us when we hear from the Vaishnavas. It's very easy actually to obtain Krishna. He says that in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananya Cheta Satatam. And he is, in that verse he says, Sulabha. Very easy to be attained. But for those who are in constant meditation in me, they are constant, always remembering me. So we have to make our lives and souls to hear topics about Lord Krishna. Because when we hear about Krishna, so then we will remember him and we will be very close to him. Actually, Krishna is everywhere. Prabhupada used to say all the time, Krishna is everywhere. Actually, a Vaishnava can see Krishna all the time. He's very accessible. At all the time we can see Krishna. But in order to see Krishna all the time, we have to hear from Vaishnavas. So therefore this sadhu sangha is the remedy, is the medicine for this age of Kali. So by hearing constantly about Lord Krishna and Vaishnavas, pastimes, leelas, philosophy, so we get closer and closer and closer to God. So Krishna consciousness is something very, very easy. Krishna is very easy. But only for those who are practicing very sincerely and with desire. Desire is very important. So although Krishna is easy to be obtained, we have to do just some little effort. It's not so much. Hear, chant, pray. There are nine processes. We should try to execute all of them, or one of them very nicely, and then we'll attain this Krishna consciousness. Like in my country, as people, they are very fond of cheese. They like to eat cheese. There is a place they make more than 20 varieties of very nice cheese, and they say when something is easy, they say you have the knife and cheese in your hands. So if you have a knife and cheese in your hands, so you cannot taste the cheese. You have to really grab the knife and cut the cheese and put in your mouth and eat the cheese, so you're going to enjoy the cheese. So the same way, Krishna consciousness is very easy. You have there the knife and cheese in the hands. So now we have to do something to enjoy this Krishna consciousness, or to perceive this Krishna consciousness. And this is a process. Just chant, dance, hear from the Vaishnavas, and then our path back home, back to God, will be wide open. We just have to take seriously this process and get together and Krishna Katha. Thank you very much for allowing me to be in your association. And let's chant and dance all these days. Hare Krishna.
Jana Nivash Prabhu.
Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Neda Vishisha Sunyavari Paschat Jadeshatani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Shivashari Gauravati Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Ram 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 Hari Hari. Such for inviting me to this wonderful yatra. Madhav Maharaj and all of your wonderful devotees here. Very wonderful experience for me. But as Madhav Maharaj is saying, it's a very auspicious day because of so many appearance days of great acharyas, personalities. So actually our movement is made up of these personalities, from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nityananda Prabhu. Rajendra Nandana Jai Sachi Suta Hoilese Balaram Hoilio Nitai. Krishna and Balaram have come to start this movement personally. Golokera Pemadana Harinam Sankitan. This movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming from the spiritual world. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced with all his spiritual associates, and even after their so-called disappearance, we have many other acharyas we have been hearing from who are coming in, following in the same line, the same movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this, in our movement, we should understand, you know, what good hands we are in. The movement is personally started by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and Nityananda Prabhu. Even down to modern times, you get Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now you imagine his difficulty, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. At that time, Vaishnav had such a bad name. If you were a Vaishnav, people would think you are simply a woman hunter and a degraded personality. That's the reputation. If you were a Vaishnav, that's the reputation they had at that time. Because so many upper sampradayas were coming and perverting the whole philosophy. And it had such a bad name. Now you imagine the struggle that one man, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, had to do to try and establish this fact. It was such a hard struggle for him. Practically he was all alone. As a preacher, he was practically all alone. And we see even he took initiation in the Nityananda Vamsi, the Nityananda Sampradaya from Bipin Bihari Mahasaya, who was also, at that time, they were claiming that only the Nityananda Vamsas have the right to preach. So the ones were preaching, supposed to be preaching, they were saying, we're the only ones who have the right anyway. No one else can preach. So this was his situation. And by his kind of force of circumstance, he was initiated into that sampradaya, because factually, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur reveals in the Nabadeep Bhavataranga and Nabadeep Dhammahatmya, that he was actually ordered to write this book by Nityananda Prabhu and Janabi Devi. He was actually ordered by them to do it. And he constantly says that they are my gurus. He constantly calls them his gurus. And also in the end of the Nabadeep Bhavataranga, he actually shows how he is eternally related to Janabi Devi in a spiritual form, in a spiritual world. It's his guru there also as an Angamanjari. So he took initiation in the Nityananda Sampradaya, because actually that's his eternal spiritual master is in the Nityananda. Nityananda is his eternal, or Nityananda Shakti is his eternal spiritual master. But he had such difficult time, but he did it. He was so perseverant, one man practically, but so steady and pushing on that. His only desire was to spread Krishna consciousness. And he had 12 or 13 children, at least 10, very illustrious children, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gilamara Prasad. But he would tell them that, you know, I have this mission to do. And he was also printing different literatures. And he said, in my house, if you want to stay here, then you have to help me with this printing of literatures and pushing on this Krishna consciousness movement. If you don't want to help me, you may leave the house. He was so strict. But we see how successful he was. Just one man, he accomplished, you know, practically an impossible task. And Gokishore Das Babaji Maharaj was there. See, completely different personality, completely absorbed in bhajan, in Nabadweep Dham, in Vrindavan for so many years, and in Nabadweep Dham. He would never leave practically the Dham. He would call Calcutta Kali's Gata or something like that. So he would even tell his Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, never go to these places. But it's a completely different personality. But such a powerful personality that actually Krishna used to sometimes come and tease him, and his Krishna and his friends, because Godramdeep, he lives in Godramdeep, that's the place of the cows and trees where Krishna goes with the grazing and everything. So actually Krishna and his friends sometimes used to come and tease him, and he would say, don't disturb me in my bhajan. And they would play with him because he's an old man. And he said, look, if you do it again, I'm going to tell Nanda Baba about you. And Krishna said, oh no, don't tell Nanda Baba. And he'll go away. So, then we get Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Although his Guru Maharaj was so much into bhajan, and actually said simply, Srila Prabhupada also said that simply by Gokishore Das Babaji's presence on the planet, simply by his presence, he's simply sitting down chanting Hare, he was purifying the whole planet. And then we see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, completely the opposite. Well, at first he was actually inclined to, he actually took a vow to chant Ek Koti Lak Nam. Took 10 years to chant that in Mayapur. He sat down. He was just like an avadut at that time. And he was just completely absorbed in Gauranga, Leela. In fact, one personality, he went to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose name was Karanadatta, and he said, you know, you're such a respectable personality here. Because he was a magistrate, he had a lot of influence in society. And he said, it's so bad now, the situation for Vaishnava philosophy is so bad, and you're so interested in it, and you know the Siddhanta. He said, you must do something about it. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he said, I'm trying, but I'm getting old. He said, I think my son can do it. You go and see that My son, he's in Navadvip, Mayapur. So he went to see to seek out Bhaktisiddhanta to request him. And he went there and he saw some local men and he said, "You know this son of Kedarnathdatta?" They said, "He's here doing his chants." They said, "Oh, you mean that? Yeah, very tall figure. We know Baba. Yeah, you wait here, he'll come soon. He usually comes about this time. Wait by the bank of the Ganga, he'll come." So he's waiting there, and then he sees one figure coming up the Ganga. "Goranga, Nitai, go, Nitai, Haribo!" And they said, "This is him." He goes, "Oh, you are Kedarnathdas' son?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Look, I spoke to your father, and he's also requested that he thinks you can do it. You can do something about the in establishing pure Vaishnavism again in the world. It's so bad today." And he was saying, "Easy, you just bring everyone to Mayapur. You just chant the names of Gauranga Nitai, everything will be okay." He said, no, you should, you know, we have to go out there and do something." He said, "No, what are you going to go out there for? Bring everyone here." He says, "No, but we've got the whole world to think about." He said, "If they want Gauranga, just tell them to come here." He said, "He's here. Don't you see? Hey, Nitai, go! Advaita Mahasaya! Hey, Haribo!" You're running up to catch them up. So this was his bhajan, completely immersed at that time. And after he actually completed his vow, it said that many personalities came to him, Rupa Goswami, even Srimati Radharani herself, and they requested, "Please, give up this bhajan. Give up and now go and do something." So immediately he went to Calcutta, which his Guru Maharaj used to call Kali's hell, you know. He said, "If I have to preach, then I have to go where the people are. They're in the city." So he went and he established so much. He established the Gaudiya Mission, that they were so powerful at that time, so strong. Once Bhavananda Prabhu said, "I think that this Ramakrishna, he's very popular in Bengal, Vivekananda Ramakrishna. He said, I think he's got popular because the Gaudiya Mat stopped preaching." And Bhaktisiddhanta said, "You are right. When my Guru Maharaj was here, he said they didn't stand a chance. We were so powerful. All the members of the Gaudiya Mat, they were so powerful, so fearless." One time, they were walking down the road, and this disciple said, "Guru Maharaj, you see this big sannyasi coming towards us with his disciple? He's that big Mayavadi. He's new Mayavadi, and he's spreading all this interpretation. He's getting very popular here now." So they were walking on the same opposite directions. So as they come close, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati walked straight up to him and he slapped him on the face like that. He said, "Why you are teaching this nonsense philosophy?" He was known as Shimaguru, the lion guru, fearless. So we see the wonderful personalities who are really concerned about pushing on this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then of course we have our own Srila Prabhupada. And we all know Prabhupada's struggle and his determination simply to spread Krishna consciousness. Again, practically he was all alone. Even his godbrothers wouldn't help him. Even the mission was established by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Tassili. He couldn't get any help. He even asked, "Please give me a little bit of land in Mayapur. I got some disciples. We're doing quite well in America. Give me a little bit of land in Mayapur, and we can start some center there." And they said, "We won't give you enough land to put one pin in." Words to that effect. So he was practically all alone, Srila Prabhupada. We see his determination simply trying to spread Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, from the very beginning, when I first met my spiritual master, 1922, from that moment on, actually, I was just thinking about that. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is in good hands here. And I was always thinking, how can I help? He said, I couldn't do anything for a long time. I thought I had so many responsibilities. But for years and years, I was always thinking about that. How can I do something? And simply by Prabhupada's will and determination, eventually Krishna made everything favorable for him to spread Krishna consciousness. And, you know, although Srila Prabhupada struggled so hard, we can understand this was The activities of Yogamaya, although he was suffering even heart attacks and heat strokes, being gored by a bull and things like that, seemingly mundane things, but it's extremely difficult to understand the pure devotee, extremely difficult. In fact, Guru Tattva, of all the tattvas, is most difficult to understand. But actually, Prabhupada, sometimes he actually revealed his divine nature. One time he told Bhavananda Prabhu that he said that when Krishna asked me to come here, I said, I can't go and live under the trees like those Goswamis. I can't do what they're doing. He said, Krishna said, no, you don't have to do that. Just go and write some books. That's okay. I'll look after you. Just write some books. You don't have to stay under the trees. So times Prabhupada did reveal his divine nature. And we saw how that manifested in. He has manifested that. One time in Mayapur, one magician came to see Srila Prabhupada in his room, because people go up and he would give darshan. So this magician was coming up and he said, oh, he's a famous magician. So he started doing all these tricks and he was pulling carrots out of Prabhupada's ear, and, you know, pulling things out of his shirt and rabbits and, you know, little handkerchiefs. And Prabhupada was laughing, you know, he's just laughing. But the disciples were getting really upset, you know, because Prabhupada was like the dummy and the magician was... And they was getting really upset at the disciples. Prabhupada was just laughing and laughing. And they were really, really annoyed, you know, that he was using Prabhupada like a puppet, you know. He's the stooge. So then after Prabhupada, he was just laying back on his pillows and he said, tell me, you know how to stop the process of birth and death? The magician said, no, I don't know. This is my magic. And practically this is Prabhupada's magic. I don't think anyone else in the history of the world up to date has ever said, I can stop the process of birth and death. I don't think anybody's ever made that claim before. Certainly you don't get it in the universities. And even Prabhupada's contemporaries weren't saying that. That not only stop the process of birth and death, but this lifetime you can finish it off. So this is the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. It's not in the hands of the temple presidents and sannyasis and GBCs. It's governed by the previous acharyas. Prabhupada says in the Krishna book that the activities of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness are governed by the previous acharyas headed by Srila Rupa Goswami. So they're all very much interested in this movement. It's their movement. They all appeared here to establish the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami wanted to establish the desire. And he started this movement. And the other acharyas are doing that. And still Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire is not established. Because his desire is priti piti chato aganagara digam savacha pacha hoi vimorana. In every town and village of the world, holy name has to be spread. So the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still unfulfilled. And this is what Prabhupada has, you know, contributed to. He's the greatest contributor to this desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the safe hands that we're in. These are all eternal aspects, the personalities. They don't just come for a little while and go. They're still interested in the movement. We just heard a wonderful story in Belgium. And one devotee there, his daughter was devotee, and he started to become devotee, and he was a bit too reluctant, don't embrace Krishna consciousness fully, have a bit of reservation, don't go overboard. Very pious man, and industrialist. And then one night, Prabhupada appeared to him in a dream, and he said, take to Krishna consciousness. He said, don't worry about your business. He said, you're working hard whole life. He said, just stop it now. Give 50% to Krishna, 25% for yourself, 25% for emergencies. I'll take care of everything. You don't have to worry about everything. And he woke up and he was amazing. So then he completely embraced Krishna, called his family now, they're chanting. So it's almost exactly the same as, maybe you know that story of how Radhapada and how Radhamadhava appeared in Mayapur. That was also, Prabhupada appeared to that Radhapada Das. Almost exactly the same dream. It's 1978, and he said, now I've left the planet. He said, my devotees are going to experience some problems in the beginning, but after a little while, everything will be all right. He said, anyway, you have facility, somehow or another, you should help them. And he woke up in the morning, he went to Calcutta, and Jayapataka Maharaj was there, Bhavananda. And he told him, I'd like to buy some deities. So he said, well, Prabhupada's given us the dimensions for Radha Madhava, and if you like, you can get the deities. Yeah, go ahead, yeah. And he said, what else you want? He said, well, Prabhupada also said, get the Astashaki. Okay, yeah. What else you want? Prabhupada talked about the 7-foot puncher. Yeah, go ahead, yeah. He built the temple there. So you see how Prabhupada is, the acharyas are still there helping. Prabhupada, so in the early days also, Prabhupada many times, Narada Muni was popping up in the New York temple and places like that, just as a kami. Walked in with shoes on and a tie, and he opened the door and he said, you're all malechas, and he slammed the door. Prabhupada said, that was Narada Muni. So he's in our sampradaya, Brahmanarad, yes. So they're interested in this movement, you see. Even Narad came as Suraj Thakur, so he was really fired up about the Krishna consciousness movement. They're still there, guiding and pushing this on. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, who is Vaishnava? You can tell him how he makes others Vaishnava. And, you know, this is what we're experiencing today. We're seeing these, you know, wonderful devotees here. Jayadvaita Swami, Radhanath Maharaj, Malati Mataji. Look what they've done. You know, how many devotees they've created. How many people are being attracted simply by their presence. This is Vaishnava. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own words. And not only that, and it's the first time I've been out for a long time with Mayapur, so I've been a bit closed in, you know, ran a little ashram there. But now I'm getting a bit more broader vision of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And I'm seeing how it's expanded into so many wonderful devotees. I've been visiting so many places, so many houses, so many varieties of foodstuffs. Prasadam, I mean, sorry. But you see how nice, gentle devotees they are. Because they have a great advantage over the Western devotees, because they have culture. They have culture. We've seen sometimes some devotees in our movement, they're so fantastic preachers, know the philosophy perfectly well. Somehow or another something happens and they leave. But you see some Indian devotees, you know, they're not very philosophically advanced, or can't preach or anything, but if something happens, they stay, because they've got that culture to back them up. So it's such a wonderful thing to have this culture. It's such a, because it's so connected with Krishna. And so this is what I'm seeing, you know, it's a whole brand new opening of my eyes. You know, such wonderful devotees spreading Krishna consciousness. It's spread out to their own homes. And not only that, but they're taking such initiative themselves. They're becoming like, they're like temple presidents. Their home's like a temple. And they have so many congregations, and they're bringing it just like temple presidents, you know. It's fantastic that how they're taking on this initiative. Just going out and not just saying, Your Mercy Guru Maharaj, Your Mercy Guru Maharaj, and I'm sitting at home chanting my rounds every day. I've got my Guruji. No, they're working really hard also to spread Krishna consciousness. It's such a fantastic eye-opener for me how Krishna consciousness is really, really spreading in India. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually said, Bharata Bhumi Hoilish, Manusha Janma. You got Manusha Janma, you got human birth in Bharat Bhasha. He ordered, it's your duty, because you got this culture, you got this Krishna consciousness from birth. He said, it's your duty to give to the whole world, because they don't have it. They just don't have it. And you see just what one person did, what Prabhupada did, one person, one seemingly little old Bengali man alone. He changed the whole world. Imagine if you all take the spirit of Krishna consciousness. The whole world you can take in a few days only. So, I'm very much indebted to you all for showing me you know, how devotees should act, and giving me such care and attention while I've been here. Thank you very much.